right, we're back. It's Empyrean Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So now I have this, we got Blackbird 9 on with us, and we're going to be taking some calls. So anybody that's interested in weighing in on Kanye and the Jews, or especially this Ukraine, Russia, this whether this is real or not, whether this is just as Madame Rothschild said, nobody goes to war on this planet unless my sons say so. But this one's called Perestroika Deception, the False Fall of the Soviet Union. Some of the interesting things here, and it, you know, we know about Yuri Bezmenov and Anatoly Golitsyn and these guys, but here's some interesting basically points in this. Promote the idea of an ideological split between Moscow and Beijing so that the West will play the China card, that is, blindly rush in and build China into an industrial and technological giant to counter Russia or the USSR. Promote fake dissident groups and dissident celebrities in the Soviet Union and its satellites. Establish controlled opposition movements in bloc countries. Prepare to organize through agents in the dissident movements anti-communist revolutions throughout the bloc. Promote the idea that a future Soviet leader is in fact a liberal reformer. Break up the Warsaw Pact and collapse the Soviet Union in a controlled fashion. Now here's a real good one. Groom stealth communists as candidates for high office in America and Western Europe. These would present themselves as quote-unquote moderates, but would operate as penetration agents dedicated to facilitating critical aspects of the strategy, namely economic sabotage and reduction or diversion of U.S. military resources. I mean, think about giving all our boys these jabs, boys and girls, and I got articles up right now. U.S. Army identifies 18-year-old active soldier found dead in her barracks. 18-year-old Marine recruit dies after collapsing during training exercise at Camp Pendleton. That's where I used to be stationed. The communist bloc's military, industrial, and diplomatic efforts would meet with success only if the West would be could be persuaded that communism had collapsed in the Soviet sphere. This part of the long-range strategy required a reorganization of the KGB into an outer shell of personnel having no knowledge of the strategy or its directing principles, and a highly secretive inner KGB responsible for organizing serial deceptions. So Gorbachev's speech at the 70th anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution in 87, in October 1917, we parted with the old world, rejecting it once and for all. We are moving toward a new world, a world of communism. We shall never turn off that road. And from his speech to the Soviet Politburo, November 87, and of course, Gorby just died. Gentlemen, comrades, do not be concerned about all you hear about glasnost and perestroika, democracy in the coming years. These are primarily for outward consumption. There will be no significant internal changes in the Soviet Union other than for cosmetic purposes. Our purpose is to disarm the Americans and let them fall asleep. We want to accomplish three things. One, we want the Americans to withdraw conventional forces from Europe. Hasn't happened yet. We still got some troops there in Germany and so forth. Two, we want them to withdraw nuclear forces from Europe. Hasn't happened yet, allegedly. Three, we want the Americans to stop proceeding with the Strategic Defense Initiative, SDI. Another important aspect of this deception is secret coordination between Soviet Russia and Red China, which enticed the U.S. to open up relations with China, was the supposed Sino-Soviet split. According to Golitsyn, Bezmenov, and other KGB defectors, this split was a deception all along. A lot of this coordination was based on a long-range strategy, particularly in the field of technology, and it goes on. But here's a recent quote from Rabbi Yishai Fleischer at CPAC 2022 to tie it all together. Israel was formed from a more communistic place. It came out of Russian Jews. And so I just wanted to throw that angle out here to flesh this out with Blackbird, and we're going to bring on the hijacker in a second. But Blackbird, your thoughts on does that hold water with you as far as that kind of a theory about a long range kind of Bezmenov and all these guys saying, hey, look, Russia's never going to turn from the path of the Communist International and so forth. Do you have any inkling of any truth to that?
Well, when I look at this, I always look at, you know, from a game theory perspective, and you know, visible power and invisible power.
Yeah.
And you know, your country's invisible power is the power that puts these puppet visible leaders on the stage. But, you know, I've always questioned that idea of, did the Soviet Union really fall, or did it just transform? I mean, the real power structure was basically all the Bolshevik Jews that looted the country, right? And you know, basically by the time of the collapse in 1990, you had just a handful of these ruthless Meyer Lansky protege gang leaders that were the mob bosses that owned everything in Russia, right? And then that started getting what we think was dismantled, and Putin was running them to the West. We saw so many of them flee to the United States or to Israel. But you know, you talk about Gorbachev. You know, in 88, he said, quote, "World progress is only possible through a search for universal human consensus as we move forward to a new world order." And so this whole thing of, you know, setting, you know, the Soviet Union fall to line up with this plan of the new world order. And if we know that part of the new world order means the end of Christianity, the end of white Europeans, you know, is Russia, you know, being set up to be that catalyst for, you know, either a big war with China or war with Europe and the United States and Canada to basically, you know, get those numbers down where the Deagle projection said they're supposed to be, right?
Right. Yeah.
Because they, you know, the whole thing is depopulation one way or the other.
Yeah. So this was up on historyreview.best. This was Putin speaking at Moscow's Jewish Museum. Russian presidents, blah, 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 says politicians were guided by false ideological considerations. And this is Putin. "I thought about something just now. The decision to nationalize this library was made by the first Soviet government, whose composition was 80 to 85% Jewish," Putin said June 13th during a visit to Moscow's Jewish Museum and Tolerance Center. Putin was referencing the library of Rabbi Joseph I. Schneerson, the late leader of the Chabad Lubavitch movement. And I don't know if that was could have been Menachem Schneerson's dad. I'm not sure. But the books, which are claimed by Chabad representatives of the United States, began being moved to the museum in Moscow this month. Thankfully, these ideological goggles and faulty ideological perceptions collapsed, and today we are essentially returning these books to the Jewish community with a happy smile. And then there's another article that was up. It's called "The Happy-Go-Lucky Jewish Group That Connects Trump and Putin." And it goes into, and I'll probably read some of it in a few minutes, but I'm going to bring on the hijacker. Him and I were talking, and I wanted to flesh this article out and, you know, kind of get your opinion on it. And then, because hijacker, he's pretty strong in the camp of Vladimir Putin being a real actor on the world stage and a force for good. And really a bulwark against this new world order and so forth and so on. So let's bring him on and see what's on his mind. Go ahead, hijacker.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. I'm honored. And I'm an apologist for Putin, 100%. And I'm in Blackbird's camp in the sense that I have studied him. And if you take a look at everything that you're reading, that is the old paradigm, the old Joel Skousen type thinking that Russia's going to fall and they're going to change and they're going to trick everybody.
But well, it's the old John Birch Society paradigm is what it really is.
Right. But when you actually take a look and you step back and you look at the totality of really what's going on with the Ukraine and with Russia, I mean, think of all the money that's been washed by the Zionist Jews from the United States to Ukrainian Jews in the Ukraine. I mean, think of what this war has done. Most of the Jewish oligarchs have fled with their yachts. They didn't get their yachts picked up. They took off. Most of the rank-and-file Jews, both in Ukraine and Russia, they've all taken off. And then you take a look at the fruit of Vladimir Putin, bringing back nationalism, pro-family, the resurrection of the Russian Orthodox Church. But then you can look at things even deeper than that. Think about it, Robert Blackburn. 8 months ago, what were we all talking about? We were talking about COVID, mask, vax, everything. As soon as he realized that that 150,000 army in the Ukraine was getting ready to hit the Russian-speaking people, and probably wasn't going to stop there. I mean, it was the greatest, it was the most powerful European, well-equipped, well-trained, largest outside of Turkey of NATO, right there at Russia's doorstep. But let's just take a look at the since he made his move February 24th. COVID gone, mask gone, whole vax thing, passports or whatever gone. It was all the Ukraine. Not only that, now that we're really digging in, and he was really biting into them, calling them out as Satanists, pedophiles, you know, screwing up children and transgender, I mean, openly going right at them, you know, tongue and nail. Look at what happened to the green climate agenda. He's got the Germans digging coal out and going and taking a chainsaw to try to stay warm this year. Think about what the Ukraine has become to worldwide mercenaries, all these armies that they had built up all over the place. They're all in Ukraine. I mean, Ukraine is getting ready to get a name like Afghanistan. Afghanistan is where empires go to die. Ukraine now is becoming a place where mercenaries go to die. And so you take a look at, you know, it's become basically a black hole. But if you actually take a look, even the way he's gone about, he's not doing some sort of mass genocide. I heard you wrote those articles in a blood-soaked Soviet flag going over to rape and pillage. No, he's done that. He's not done that. He's very gingerly, to a cost of his own army, tried to. And like the Russian politicians, come on. This is not a traditional enemy we're fighting. This is a family. This is more of a inner family fight that we're trying to keep constricted. But one thing after another, take a look at
the... Hold on a second. Hey, let me read this. Hold on. Let me read this to you. This was a speech from Menachem Mendel Schneerson, the head of Chabad Lubavitch. And this is why I remain leery, because... And look, you make good points, but listen to this. The Ukrainians would think they are fighting against the expansionist Russia and struggling for their independence. They will think that they have finally gained their freedom while they become fully subdued by us. The same will be thought by Russians. As though they defend their national interest to return their lands, illegally taken away from them, and so on. We will do all of this under the guise of different sovereignties, the struggle for their national ideals. At the same time, we will not give either party any self-determination based on the national values and traditions. In this war of fools, the Slavic moronic herd will be weakening itself and strengthening us, the main controllers of the chaos, pretending to stand aside, not only without participating in the bloody events, but also without involvement. Moreover, we will fully protect ourselves. In the consciousness of the Slavic fools, we will lay such stereotypes in of thinking, which the word anti-Semite would become the most terrible word. The word Jew would be pronounced in a whisper, and blah, 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 and he calls them cattle and all this. So this is just the reason why I remain, because these people have had designs on this very area for a long, long time, and I just don't want to see this gang, their sick dream come to fruition, while secretly there's puppet masters pulling, you know, moves here, and it's going to end up in a bad place. You see what I'm saying, Hijack?
Right. Well, two quick points, and I know Blackburn, you know, I'm sure he's got tons of stuff he can win, but two quick points. Number one, just what I was trying to say before, Alexander Solzhenitsyn Archipelago,
Gulag Archipelago,
Right. That is required high school reading before you graduate. You have to read that book. And I'm sure you've read it, Robert. I'm sure Blackburn.
Well, 200 Years Together is another one.
Right. But anyway, that book. But the other thing is that I view Putin, because I come from a Christian worldview base, when I go about how I work, I go for buying time. To me, as a Christian, my whole drive, everything, is that the more time things can be delayed, the more time that I can buy or push the ball down the field, even if I got to use Trump, knowing that maybe he had been rotten from the beginning or maybe he got captured, doesn't matter. Yeah. I view Putin the same way, buying time. Look at the time he's bought. All the Jewish oligarchs have now been exposed where they just took our country over. We all know the Zionist Jews control Ukraine. All this. When he did that speech, when Putin gave that speech, the only word he didn't use was Zionism and Jewish. So go ahead. I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah, Blackbird, jump in.
Oh, hi, hijacker. Great call, man. You nailed it.
Yeah, and you do really good work. I catch you. You're like Robert. You're must. Like, I get you over there on Speak Free, free speech.
Speak Free Radio. We're simulcasting now on Speak Free right now too. Yeah,
right. Go ahead.
But yeah, one of the things I've noticed in his entire operation, I was mentioning this earlier, is he has basically announcing his targets, and they're all in line with enforcing the Minsk agreements and keeping casualties at a minimum. You know, if he was wanting to genocide everybody, he has the weaponry. He could have just gone in there and done a Dresden on them, right? But he did not do that. And like Robert was saying, at the expense of his own men. When you go in and do these delicate pinpoint operations, you're a lot more exposed, you're a lot more vulnerable, and you take more casualties. And he is doing that so as not to inflict that many casualties on the civilian population of Ukraine. And like you said, this is a family war. But again, I just have trust issues after what we've been through the last 21 years.
You're like Robert. Robert doesn't believe anybody. He knows somebody's trying.
Well, let me listen to this. Two decades ago, as the Russian president set about consolidating power on one side of the world, he embarked on a project to supplant his country's existing Jewish civil society and replace it with a parallel structure loyal to him. On the other side of the world, the brash Manhattan developer was working to get a piece of the massive flows of capital that were fleeing the former Soviet Union in search of stable assets in the West, especially real estate, and seeking partners in New York with ties to the region. Their respective ambitions led the two men, along with Trump's future son-in-law, Jared Kushner, to build a set of close overlapping relationships in a small world that intersects on Chabad, an international Hasidic movement most people never heard of. Starting in 1999, Putin enlisted two of his closest confidants, the oligarchs Lev Leviev and Roman Abramovich, who would go on to become Chabad's biggest patrons worldwide, to create a federation of Jewish communities of Russia under the leadership of Chabad Rabbi Barel Lazar, who would become to be known as Putin's rabbi. A few years later, Trump would seek out Russian projects and capital by joining forces with a partnership called Bayrak Sapir, led by Soviet emigres Tevfik Arif, Felix Sater, and Tamir Sapir, who maintained close ties to Chabad. The company's ventures would lead to multiple lawsuits alleging fraud and criminal investigation of a condo project in Manhattan, blah, 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 blah. I just remain jaded, as the person I am, with all this Chabad crap all up in these two guys, and, that's just me. Go ahead, hijacker.
Yeah, well, just think about this, Robert, and Blackburn and the audience. Think about this. You remove the great and mighty king of Mother Russia, Vladimir Putin, from the board right now. Let's say this guy never showed up with his Russian army, bearing the flag as the Christian champion, the flag of Christianity, and actually going up and exposing through his deeds, not so much his word, but through what he's doing, the worldwide Zionist bulwark. He's the only guy. Let's remove that guy, which, by the way, 2005 in my writings, that's when I first named the guy. There's something about him, and I says, that guy's the great and mighty king of Mother Russia, no question about it. But let's just say you remove that guy. what do we got? He's all
we don't
got.
Know. You don't know. Yeah, you don't know.
No, there's no, well, there's nobody else.
What do you think?
There's
What do you think about this guy with this guy's yacht? And you know all the people that say, "Hey, this guy's been in government this whole time, and now he's sitting down with a damn near $1 billion yacht." You know, shades of Trump and so forth and so on. You know, gold toilet seats and
you know how much Putin is worth?
That's what I'm saying. How did he get worth all this being in government? You got naysayers to talk like this, hijacker.
It's because they have a hybrid type. People don't quite understand the Russian system, but he still has some of that czarist. I've heard that Putin is actually one of the richest men on the earth. Either he's got, some people say he's got $200 billion. I've heard as high as $400 billion. But he gets a piece of the pie. No, this guy's not like innocent Christian born again, you know, praise Jesus, glory to God. No. I mean, if he plays that role, I do believe he's a believer, but he's not like a zealot. Have you ever seen that large circle? It happens like once a year. It's like 400 guys from all the different power centers of Russia that show up, almost all males, almost all older, heavyset males. Every one of them looks like a godfather, a mob boss. And I mean, so, no, it's this clique. They're looking to get their seat and the power. This is all about the magical money machine and the digital. This has nothing to do with Ukraine. This is like Blackburn actually can actually articulate more what I'm trying to say than I can. But no, the Chinese. I think the Chinese are waiting. They're saying, "I just hope those white people. I hope the Russians and the Americans and the Europeans, they just wipe each other out." And then we walk in and we pick up all the marbles. To hell with these Jewish Zionists. To hell with the Russians. We're going to be the ones in control. So, yeah, no, I'm with you, Robert. It's not, you know, he is very rich. No question about it.
All right. Well, hey, I got a bunch of calls stacking up, Hijacker. Right. I appreciate you coming on. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks so much, Robert.
Yeah, dude, I'll talk to you. So, Blackbird, final thoughts before we move on to some of these calls.
Oh, just thanks, Hijacker. Great call and you know, good points. I guess you know everybody's playing their own games and everybody's playing to win. And you're right. You know, if you take Putin out of the equation. Just like if you take Trump out of the equation in the U.S., who do you have to fill that power vacuum? Because, you know, if we're good or bad, both have huge followings of people. And, you know, Trump is the face of the MAGA movement in the United States. Putin is the face of new post-Soviet Russia. I mean, you think, you know, with the exception of, 4 years, he has been, you know, the prime minister or the president of Russia since 2000.
Yeah.
You know, he lost 2008 to 2012. Yeah, you had the other guy in there. But, you know, so the guy's got staying power. And, yeah, just
well, a lot of people criticize him for that, too, for changing all the rules all the time to stay in. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Change of the Constitution, all that goofy stuff. So a lot of you know,
I am czar for life.
Just like President Xi's over there. Hey, I'm it, man. Until I croak, I'm it. All right, let's take Kevin in Texas. Kevin, what do you think?
Well, just to go back to Kanye for a minute, I've never been a big fan of rap and stuff, and so I really didn't know about Kanye except what I read in the paper. But I think that he has his I think he's very perceptive. Obviously, he's lived what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And
look, nobody gets that rich without having to deal with those people.
Yeah.
I'll just put it that way.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, to me, history is so much a part of all of this, because if you look at the term, even anti-Semitic, when I look in the dictionary, the dictionary said to me that Semites were from the Middle East.
Yeah.
Well, the people who most people in this country consider as this, you know, these people in this particular tribe are not from the Middle East.
Yeah, they're Ashkenazi.
They have no roots in the Middle East.
Yeah, Ashkenazi.
So this whole thing with them has been a deception. They have traded on that, with especially with Christians, for eons, and it's not it's not true.
Right.
In terms of the war in Ukraine, well, of course, you know, it's whatever it is, a police action or whatever.
Special denazification operation.
I mean, I think history again has a lot to do with it. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, Mike Adams and a lot of people, and there's a lot of history involved in this whole thing. The Khazaria, basically, where these people are from, was they converted to Judaism. And at one point in history, the Russians basically kicked them out of Russia when they became part of Russia. And they never forgot that. Then when you had the wall come down in the Soviet Union, and Yeltsin, the drunk, was in there, and he let, you know, all these oligarchs, these former communists, buy up all the natural resources, and I mean, they had everything, and stuff was just horrible for the Russian people. Then they got Putin, put them in jail, a lot of them fled. And so they're mad at him for that, because their people, I remember Jeffrey Sachs and a lot of these folks from Harvard went over there and they set up this system when the wall came down and blah, blah, blah. So they thought they had Russia, finally. But they got kicked out. And so they are totally upset and mad with Putin. And that's why they are using this country and the rest of the West, which they control all the countries in the West, to get back and to dethrone Putin. And that's what they are using us to fight their wars, and or their war, as they see it. And it's just a total deception. It's just, you know, we don't need to be involved in this thing. This is not our fight.
I agree with that.
Think about this, Kevin.
But the Pentagon setting up 40-plus biological warfare research facilities right there in the Ukraine on Russia's border, it's inexcusable to be doing crap like that. We claim to be the shining city on the hill and the beacon of this and that. It's just like, dude, you know, you can't be doing this right on other people's doorsteps and not expect people to try to protect
themselves.
Some kind
of reaction, exactly. Yeah, but. Yeah. You know, look at what they say. They say, oh, he's bombing civilian targets. We carpet bombed Iran. I mean,
we did it with shock and awe.
I mean, you know, they're talking about taking out, civilian, facilities like water treatment plants. We hospitals. We did all that. And yet we shake our fingers in Russia's face and say, you can't do anything. We were the ones who first brought up nuclear weapons, because I remember I had an argument with a colleague about it when this first started. She was all gung-ho and, oh, yeah, well, we can use you. I said, you don't know what you're saying, you know?
Yeah.
So we
all
brought
right, well, I got
that
a bottom up. Of the hour break, Kevin. I appreciate you calling. I appreciate you listening. We'll see you guys on the other side. Yeah, take care, man.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Public Broadcasting Network. You know, I saw this today. Haitian singer collapses on stage and dies suddenly of suspected cardiac arrest during concert in Paris. So, you know, he had to be vaxxed to get into the EU, I'm sure. 41-year-old Michael McKibben Benjamin. But anyway, I watched the video, and these people are straight up face planting. They're not even trying to block their fall. I mean, it's these people that are collapsing, like, and it's so brutal the way they fall. You could hear the dude's head smack the stage. Just crazy that, you know, this stuff is the amount of people dying right now is insane. Let's take Andrea in New York. Andrea, what's on your mind?
Yeah, regarding Christianity in Russia. I've heard that Patriarch Kirill is a multi of the Russian Orthodox Church is a multi-billionaire.
I've heard
and
that
he made
too.
His money, yeah, he made his money from cigarettes and alcohol and oil, and he has a luxury apartment in Switzerland. So there's been a split in the Russian Orthodox Church, and you've got the Russian Orthodox Church outside Russia, or the ROKOR, and I guess there's a lot of conflict between the two.
Rabbi Schneerson speech, he said they were going to penetrate the Orthodox Church with their agents. And, you know, this has happened to Catholicism and evangelicalism and everything. So, you know, just because you see a church doesn't mean it's necessarily on the up and up. Right. Now, at the same time, the communists straight up just destroyed Orthodoxy damn near during the reign of terror and so forth. But synagogues got to stay and be real nice, and nobody messed with them because anti-Semitism was the death sentence in the Soviet Union.
Yeah. I'm anti-Putin, and I don't know how intelligent that is, but it's kind of an emotional thing. Maybe it's both, but thought out. But you know, some people say Putin is a Jew. And last year, according to Willem Felderhoff, Putin was awarded Friends of Zion Award by Israel. And
the strange relationship with Russia and Israel, and so many of the founders of Israel being Russian Jews, and many of them communistic Russian Jews. There's that strange bedfellow relationship between Russia and Israel that cannot be, you know, it really has to be fleshed out. Blackbird, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's one of the big concerns, is, you know, all the connections to, not only is Putin associated with these Chabad Lubavitch criminals, but also his own bloodline via his mother, if I'm understanding the information properly. Yeah, that he could pass the right of return in Israel. So I guess
he's halakhically probably kosher. I don't know. I'm not sure. I've seen documents thrown around online, but I'm sitting here smack dab in the middle of America, and I couldn't say one way or the other. But there are those that say, yeah, Putin is a crypto and so forth.
So maybe they're all, you know, he and Zelensky are all working for the same people. With the same objective, ultimately, you know.
Khazaria 2.0, that's possible. That is possible. Well, I throw that out there, yeah.
Yeah, how about, you know, the World Island, you know. Whoever controls Eastern Europe controls the heartland of Russia. Whoever controls that controls the World Island. Whoever controls that controls the world, kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, Ukraine being a massive producer of, you know, crops and food and that sort of thing, too. Think about the effect this is going to have on the world, or especially that area of the world's food supply and that sort of thing.
Yeah, just something on a different topic. Did you hear that? I mean, nobody talks about Ian being, or I haven't heard much talk about it being weather warfare. Do you go along with that? Do you think
Well, a lot of people have all talked about that storm being controlled and that sort of thing. There was a lot out there on the various websites, alternative media, that I saw. Blackbird, your thoughts on Ian? And, you know, basically weather warfare, Air Force 2025, weather's a force multiplier, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, well, you know, weather modification has been the dream of every military since the beginning of militaries, right?
Yeah,
You know, we have evidence that, you know, United States and everybody else was doing weather modification programs as early as the 1950s, right? And so you're dealing with basically, you know, pressure, volume, temperature graphs, and, you know, we have laser technology now that you can use as a heat source. You've got, you know, all of this other, you know, electromagnetic equipment, the HARP arrays that you could use to manipulate and, you know, either attenuate or amplify the storm systems. And, you know, that's just physics.
Who do you think did it? Why? Yeah. You have any idea?
All right, Andrea, thanks for the call. We'll answer that. We got a lot of calls stacking up. See, that's when you're talking about who do you think did something like that, the first people you got to look at is the jerks running our own government. Number two, it could be a hostile foreign power. Let's just say somebody that's not too happy about us sending all this state-of-the-art equipment in there to kill their boys. I mean, I wouldn't be outside that being the realm of possibility either. Your thoughts, Blackbird?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's like, you know, who's doing it? Yeah, who's doing the spraying? And why is it such a cover-up, right? And the other thing that concerns me is not just the weather modification, but are we being poisoned by these aerosols? And, you know, I'm thinking.
But she was asking about Ian, and if it was controlled, who do you think would be the culprit? And your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's this hidden hand that has taken control of our government and everybody else's government. I don't think our government, you know, as we think of it, is doing this, but there's this hidden hand that has basically infiltrated. I call it slime mold. That, you know, they're carrying out these operations against their own people. And, yeah, this is their track record. CIA, NSA, all these guys are doing stuff against their own people.
Gotcha. Let's take Chance in West Virginia. Chance, good evening.
Yes, hello, guys.
Hi.
I had a call because concerning Russia, I don't know if I told you, Robert, my daddy and his parents and his brother and sister lived in Hungary, you know, during the Second World War and couple of years after that. They were under Soviet communism, okay?
Ceausescu. That was Bella Kuhn. I'm sorry, Bella Kuhn,
Ceausescu, my daddy came here in 1952. And by the way, when the wall came down, my grandpa's godson, Ferenc Model, was the president of Hungary. So this topic interests me concerning Russia. Now, my aunt, which is my only surviving relative, my daddy's older sister, 90 years old, she's up in the Northeast. She's virulently anti-Russian, understandably so, you know, because they lived under Soviet Bolshevism, you know. But getting back to what hijacker said, now that I hear, you know, Putin kicked out the tribe's oligarchs, he's building churches.
But he didn't kick them all out. There's still some oligarchs there, and some of them are Jewish still. So that, you know what I'm saying?
There's a strong sense of nationalism. And he also mentioned about how this country, our country, is turning into Sodom and Gomorrah, which he's correct. And so I have to say, now, like Hijacker said, I tend to believe Putin. But
look at it this way, Chance. There are people out there that say, yeah, Putin is saying all the right things in order to, like a honey trap, bring all of the American nationalists and loyalists and traditionalists and so forth into his good graces, to where we all lionize him and view him as some sort of a savior figure for the West, like somehow we would rather have him as our leader than the jerks that have been running our country for so long. And then you see some people view that kind of with a jaundiced eye, saying, yeah, well, he's saying all the right things for the alternative media absorber to absorb. That's us, because the people that watch TV are never going to hear a word of that. You see what I mean?
You got a point there too, Robert. I don't know what to think, but
me neither.
But you mentioned Solzhenitsyn before, and I just went in my library room and picked out a paperback. And I don't know if either of you guys read. This is copyright 1975, by the way. An American in the Gulag by Alexander Dolgan: A Journey Through Horror to Hope. Have you are both you guys familiar with that book?
I am not.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up, too.
All right.
Like I said, I'm sorry?
No, I got a bunch of calls, Chance. I'm just trying to say.
Okay, I'm sorry to keep you now. It might be a book you might want to read. It's called An American in the Gulag, A Journey
American
Through
in the Gulag.
Horror. Yeah, A Journey Through Horror to Hope by Alexander Dolgan. Okay, guys, thank you for taking my call now.
Thank you, Chance. Hey, thanks for listening, buddy. American in the Gulag. Let's take Pat in Texas. Pat.
Hi, Robert.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to tell you about an article in Psychology Today. I don't generally read that kind of stuff, but it caught my attention because the title of it is A Pathological Liar as a World Leader. It's by Richard Gunderman, MD, PhD, as a professor in Indiana. And he's written umpteen books and all kind of things. But he says that Putin has ruined his own self by lying. The troops were lined up at the border. We all knew that. I did. And he said it was nothing but we're not going to do anything. Well, they did. They went in after China gave them permission because they had to have their, Olympics. And so as soon as the Olympics were over, they went in. But it was for nothing but to get rid of the neo-Nazis, okay? And on and on. He says he has put the wrong people under him because, of course, when you got a dictator, you have to tell him what he wants to hear. And that doesn't go over too well. So that's what people need to get that and look at it because he says that you don't dare tell them what they don't want to hear, and so they end up not knowing what's going on.
All right, Pat, thanks for the call. There was Blackbird. I'm sure you heard of this with Trump too, that people had to basically tell him what he wanted to hear because of his personality type and so forth. But, you know, look, I don't trust quackademics out of Psychology Today, number one, to give me some sort of a breakdown on Vladimir Putin. What about you, Blackbird?
Well, one of the things that's interesting is I think our open source intelligence network that we've built all these years gives our leader, gives better information than what our leaders are getting from their intelligence experts. Because one, they're afraid to tell them what they don't want to hear. And two, they're so compartmentalized into what's allowed to be said that they are not going to present anything, outside of that little box. And so it's like, are our leaders getting good information, or are we getting better information than they are?
I mean, weren't you frustrated the entire time that Trump's in office and this guy's sitting there watching TV and he's commenting on Fox News and CNN while it's like, dude, can't you get on your little iPhone that you're allegedly tweeting out of and dig on into some alternative media websites to get some sort of information about the quack scene or any of this? You know, that's why Trump's done. He's warp speed to me. He's done. And so we got four callers left and we got about 11 minutes. Miles in Maine. Miles, what's on your mind?
Good show, Robert. Good to hear Hijacker, and we need to hear more of them. I just wanted to kind of come full circle on a few things here. First of all, people need to look up their history. Putin is not Jewish. Putin is Armenian. Look up Armenians. Armenians were some of the first Christians on this earth. They're Orthodox. So, we got to start with getting the correct information out here.
I'm saying everybody puts out information on people's heritage, and it's hard as a person sitting here in the United States to figure that out as far as a world leader and who has their hooks in a world leader and that sort of thing.
Well, look at Putin and what he says about himself. He says he's Armenian. Where they come up with this Jewish thing is ridiculous. I mean, this is just nonsense. And look who the Armenians are. They're some of the first Christians on earth. When Noah's Ark landed, where did it land? It landed in Mount Ararat. Where was Mount Ararat? In Armenia. So, I mean, people get off on a wrong track, and it's like a hound dog that you can't get off the trail. So that's how I see it anyway. I think people need to look at that. Secondly, people make these nebulous arguments. I mean, things like, how many millionaires? Well, what leader of any nation isn't a millionaire or take the money? I mean, we got them right here with insider trading. They admit to it, and nobody does nothing about it. Talking about changing the law, they change the Constitution every day without nothing, no Congress, no Senate, anything. So, when you look at those kind of things, I mean, what nation isn't just basically doing what they want?
That's not justification for anything, though, by saying, we got a bunch of turds over here, so let's go worship the turd over on the other side of the world. I mean, that's not a good argument.
Well, no, it's not. But people, right. You know, these countries often do, you know, do things like that and bypass maybe some particular rulings and that. But when you talk about oligarchs around the world, or you know, Jewish oligarchs, what nation has thrown out all the oligarchs or any
nobody.
Of them, or as many well, as Russia or as many
nobody
as Russia
in recent,
has.
Nobody in recent history has. All right, Miles, thanks for the call, man. Murr in Wisconsin. Murr, greetings, ma'am.
Oh, greetings. Hi, Robert and Blackbird.
Hi.
I just want to say three things that didn't happen that shows you who's really in charge. On 9/11/2001, that third plane, or if that's what it was, and a good soul kept it from hitting the Capitol. And that was going to be the death blow. You know, G.H.W. Bush was sleeping in the White House. Angel One, his own son, he had planned to kill or have killed. Okay, so we survived that because it wasn't time for that. That wasn't in his plan, the plan, yeah. God's plan. Okay, and then 2014, the USS Donald Cook on April 10th went into the Black Sea. I don't know how NATO goes into the Black Sea, but anyway. And on April 12th, the Russian plane swooped over them and killed all their electronics.
Yeah, Friday.
Whether that was Keshi plasma stuff or whatever it was, and there's some little things about Keshi I'm not too keen on. He's an Iranian Jew, but they want to find who's capable of doing this plasma stuff. So that was towed to Romania, and 27 soldiers resigned. It was terribly demoralizing, but even more than that, it kept us from going into that at that time. We had the Minsk Agreement. We also had VP Biden, B-U-I-E-D, Biden, giving a speech on May 14th. That's exactly 66 years to the day since Israel Hell in 1948, which was also the same day that Rand Corporation was hatched. Okay, so we, you know how they love their numbers and everything,
yeah.
And all
yeah.
that stuff. So on that day, you know, I'm trying to think what it was he said. But anyway, the third thing, I'll get to that. And that's to do with this manipulation of weather. On, 2017, we had Hurricane Harvey hit Houston hard. You like that alliteration? And I always think of the picture their media took with Trump and all the generals and their wives and all, and how this is the calm before the storm. And
oh, yeah.
Harvey Weinstein was arrested then, too. But in 2018, the eighth storm, and I had sent this to you, and McCanny and Moore were blasting off at me about it, but the storm Helene, you know, was formed off of Africa, but there's a bare island there that's, was a lake, and it's used for some sort of frequency weapon, and it hit this Helene and drove it down, actually, it hit a beam and went down to Antarctica, where a bigger beam of some sort of frequency shot up and hit Helene up into the North Atlantic waters, where it dissipated. So there's all kind of control one
yeah,
way or the
yeah.
other. That's
well, remember they tapped that hurricane on the day of 9/11 and then used some...
Aaron,
yeah.
E-R-I-N. Yep.
And, yeah, right.
And they wouldn't even credit it, you know, and they
right.
wouldn't let the media talk about it. True Stream Media did a nice little... talking about weird hurricanes
yeah.
thing about that. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so
all right,
he's
Burr.
In control, Christ or Antichrist.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right on. Thanks, Burr. We got two callers
Thanks,
left.
Thanks, Burr.
Mike in Kentucky. Mike, what's on their mind?
All right, real quick, and I think you might have hinted at this. I think there's a whole other layer here people aren't considering, is that there is some cooperation going on between Putin and the Netanyahu crowd. And as long as they can run this out, as long as they can drag out the Ukraine thing, they're draining money out of America. Because
yeah.
any money that Israel loans to Ukraine is guaranteed to be paid back. But the loan guarantees and the foreign aid and stuff going into Ukraine is not guaranteed to be paid back to the West or whoever, NATO and especially
oh, how
the
many,
US.
How many packages have we... Oh. What is it, every other day now? Oh, $725 million, $3.7 billion. You know what I mean? It's like, come
They're
on.
They're milking us. They're
yeah,
milking
yeah.
us, and it's going funneled through there like a money laundering operation to Israel. I'll let you go.
All right, man. Blackbird, your thoughts?
Oh, I totally agree about the money operation. It's just a big money mill, and we're the taxpayers are the ones getting fleeced on it, and we're waving our little Ukraine flags like, you know, good goyim.
Dan in Washington. What's up, Dan?
Hey, yeah, it reminds me, I haven't heard of Joel Skousen for a while. I think he kind of supported Zelensky on rents one night, and it just shows what happens if you don't, you know, talk about the Jewish question, and you're always paranoid about this communist plot, how easily he was deceived that, you know, Zelensky is some true nationalist fighting
the drag queen Zelensky. Yeah. Real nice.
But I think what you know, really the future of the white race kind of depends on Russia and Germany becoming friends. And if those people over there can't get along, then, you know, Europe, the white Christian people deserve to just be wiped away from history in a sense. So I think what I'm hoping is Russia and China, they're not communists. They're going more for the National Socialist model of Germany. And what I'm hoping is they form that Eurasian Union, and then they peel away Germany, and you have an alliance, and probably Italy, of Italy, Germany, and Russia, you know, and they'll all be in that BRICS system, and the U.S. dollar will kind of implode, and then that, and it won't be ran by Jews, and that will become the center of white
Christian civilization. That's all severely debatable, I'll tell you that. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Blackbird, so your thoughts, they implode everything. Your thoughts on whether Jews are going to come out and still controlling the financial system or not?
Yeah, that was the thing of the BRICS and the SWIFT alternative was to get independent of the Federal Reserve and the IMF. And so that's the other big, you know, game changer here is what happens.
But is that another layer of control? That's the question.
Right.
And
trying to force us onto an electronic currency.
Yeah, blockchain.
But,
all right, Blackbird, thanks for joining me
tonight.
Thanks
so much for having me on. Great show.
All right, later. Everybody, thanks for listening, all the callers and everybody in those chat rooms. Take care, everybody. We'll see what they throw at us this week.
There's some folks who pay my way with skills I'm knowing for.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.